mental image of what to embrace or what to avoid. In advertising, people are typically sold a story about what they need in order to make their lives more complete. An idea is planted so that we think that a lack in our lives exists that can only be met by, or overcome rather, by the product that's being advertised. I also notice as I watch advertisements that the story that we are sold regarding who is incomplete or unfortunate is often shaped by the advertisers to include certain people in particular, certain segments of society. The obese, the deformed, the bald, the elderly. The list would also include people who are searching for romance, as well as those who find themselves alone and lonely. And those are just a few examples. You and I, as we are subject to media, are influenced emotionally, socially, and psychologically to believe that in order to be acceptable and complete, that somehow we need to be thin, correctly shaped, have wonderful hair, and appear useful. That kind of excludes me. The story in which they want you to see yourself might even have something to do with owning the right kind of vehicle. Just a thought. For many people, these are the only measurements of acceptance that they've ever known in their lives. For many people, what the advertisers and the media tell us about what it looks like to be accepted becomes how they measure whether or not their lives actually have any value. And for many people in this world, for many people that you know, it's the only message they've ever heard about where their value comes from. That's scary. Think about this. If people like us can be convinced to evaluate our lives or to evaluate the lives of other people around us based on what we have or what we don't have, on how we look or by what we lack, our measure of life becomes all about the value of economics. What companies can sell us based on the story that we've learned to tell ourselves. And this is based on what we've been told about what we're supposed to measure. Well, Jesus has a very relevant word about value for people like us simply through his emphasis on the real and natural beauty of each and every human being on this planet. Human beings that are created in the image of our God, in the image of their Creator. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus talks about the most glamorous person that the people in his era could identify with, King Solomon in all of his splendor. And Jesus says that King Solomon in all of his splendor did not even come close to comparing with the beauty, the natural beauty of a single field flower, a lily of the field. And then Jesus says, when you choose to live in the abundance of kingdom life, the life of God flowing in and through you, that it makes every single one of us of greater beauty than even that field flower, that field lily. Now, that's amazing. Matthew chapter 6, verse 30 to 33. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. When you and I, when we compare what the world around us says is important with what God says is real, we begin to get this glimpse of the kingdom, and that the kingdom of God is good news for a world that has actually become quite silly in the way that it makes its measurements. Somehow the silly things of this world have been exalted to the position of what really matters. And for many people, these issues literally have become matters of life and death. And here's the thing. If the kingdom of God does not reach people like you and me in the middle of our silliness, then who possibly could find salvation and a relationship with God? When Jesus spoke about who it was that was blessed, he simply pointed to the people in the crowd on the hillside that he was talking to and who he is teaching. And he began to use examples based on the people that he had been talking to, people he'd been meeting all day, people he'd been interacting with. Jesus highlighted the poor and the destitute, those who were experiencing deep loss in their lives. He highlights the shy and the intimidated, as well as the mild and unassertive people in the world. People who have failed and people who long for justice. Jesus focuses our attention on different people and what they're going through simply by highlighting the people who were part of that crowd that he was teaching that day. And I suspect that if Jesus were actually here, physically here with us this morning, that he would be taking time to talk to the elderly, to people who were large and people who were small, to the bald and to the obese. He'd talk to people who smelled bad. Jesus would take time to communicate with those who had poor social skills as well as those who were rather difficult to love. Jesus, the bringer of the kingdom, makes himself present to ordinary people like you and me. And he invites all of us to come near and to experience real life, kingdom life, where we are learning what it looks like to love God and to love people. According to the Lord Jesus, the kingdom is available to everyone. It's available to all of us, to the drug user, the depressed, and the divorced, to the emotionally crushed, and to the desperate, to the brain damaged and the incurably HIV positive. He invites those who are barren as well as those who are pregnant. Jesus would never ignore the unemployed, the underemployed, or the unemployable. He would make room in the best seats for the incompetent as well as the emotionally starved. At the core of his message, Jesus, the great King, wants us to know that you and I are so very valuable to him. And we're valuable to him right now. He wants us to be part of his family. How you see yourself, how you see your potential to be the person that God designed for you to be, is more about agreeing with God that you actually are valuable and that your value is found in different places than what we typically look for. There is also a reminder here that how you live your life in the Lord Jesus Christ really does matter. The choices that you make, the difference that you make in the lives of other people, it all matters. There is nothing that you can do to make God love you more. There's nothing you can do to mess up that will make God love you less. Doesn't matter who you are, what you've done, you are still invited to come near and experience forgiveness, to experience life in Jesus' name, in Jesus Christ, the kingdom bringer. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 to 16, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. City on a hill can't be hidden. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Friends, the way that you see yourself, the way that you see other people around you that you rub shoulders with, it matters. Loving with all your heart and soul and mind and strength matters. Your connections in life and the way that you treat each other, the way that you treat people, it matters. Who you are and the values that you embrace in life, it matters. The way that you educate in yourself in the school of life and love and relationship, that matters too. It matters today. It matters next week. It matters every day for the rest of your life, both in this world and in the next. It matters. For the next few moments, I want to invite you to talk to God, to simply thank Him for the value that He's placed in your life, that He said that you're valuable just because He made you. And if you're here this morning and you struggle with that, talk to Him about that too. Let's pray. Would you stand with me? In the very middle of our searching for meaning in life, God, you get our attention. You communicate our value. You give us Jesus. You give us His indwelling life. So I ask that you would help us to see the larger reality of who you are, of who we are, and how all of that converges in the Lord Jesus Christ. That all of life is about Him, for Him, by Him, through Him, to Him. Thank you. In His name we pray. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May He make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May He turn Himself toward you and give you peace. Amen. Thanks for being here this morning. I hope you have a wonderful week. Enjoy the sunshine and the rain. Take care.
lives to love his bride and make his name known far and wide.